John chapter 19. Turn with me to John chapter 19, beginning with verse 23. John 19:23. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom, so they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour the disciple took her to his home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today we are thankful for Jesus. He is our hope. He is our life. He is our salvation. We're thankful for what he accomplished for us on the cross. And we have spent time proclaiming his death, acknowledging its significance to our lives. As we open your word today, speak to us. May our hearts and minds be open. In Jesus' name, amen. On March 1st, University of Virginia men's basketball team were playing the University of Louisville men's basketball team. And there was one point where the UVA Cavaliers were down by 13 points. But they came back, and at the very end, there was 0.9 seconds left on the clock. 0.9 seconds. UVA was down by 2 points. But Louisville had the ball. They were taking it out of bounds. All they had to do was throw it in, catch it, clock would run out. Louisville wins, and it's finished. And UVA fans thought it was finished. But the player taking the ball out for Louisville, he started running up the sideline, which at this play, he wasn't allowed to run up the sideline. So the referees blew the whistle. Ball goes to UVA. Ty Jerome threw it in, 0.9 seconds. DeAndre Hunter throws up a long 3-point shot, and it goes in to win the game in the final second. And there were some games like that in the last couple days where there were final second shots to win the game. Now UVA blew the rest of my illustration from there. Though I guess it does kind of fit because now they're finished. They're in a tournament one and done. Your team loses, they're finished. For the seniors, their college career is finished. Now there are some things I like when it's finished. Some things I don't like so much. When I go to the gym in the mornings, it's a great feeling to be finished and to walk out of there. And I'm glad it's finished. But when I'm on a great vacation that's so relaxing and so enjoyable, when it reaches that last day, I'm kind of bummed that it's finished. The other day I was at Memorial Regional giving blood. They had the Red Cross was there, and the Red Cross had been calling me and emailing me for a few months. Because I have a popular, I'm a universal donor. It's not a popular blood type, O negative. But it is a universal type. It can be given pretty much to anybody. And I never remember that. I kind of remember I'm universal, but I always have to check my card and see if it's O negative, O positive. But I'm O negative. So I thought, well, I'm going to look this up. This past week I looked it up and I discovered that I can give to pretty much any blood type, but I can only receive O negative. And there are only 15% in our population who are O negative. Well, I usually do the double red because you can't give as often. You give twice as much, but you don't have to give as much as often. Because I don't like the needles. And boy, it was great to be finished. I watched that machine, because with the doing the double red, they have a machine that pumps it out, separates the red blood cells and the plasma, and pumps the plasma back in and the saline back in. I'm reading the readout and it says, complete, finished. Yes, get this thing out of my arm. I'm glad when it's finished. But if I'm going to a show, maybe it's an enjoyable show, one of my favorite artists, and it reaches the end, I think, oh, man, it's finished. It's over. But in show business, they say you should leave your audience wanting more. And sometimes I leave and I want more. I'm disappointed that it's finished. Well, Jesus uttered those three simple words after almost 6 hours on the cross. It is finished. Tetelestai is the Greek. Tetelestai, it is finished. And certainly, after being almost 6 hours on the cross, wouldn't you be glad that that agony is finished? After all that he suffered, the agony of the cross, it is finally finished. But that's not what he meant. He wasn't saying that this time on the cross was finished. But as we consider Tetelestai, it is finished. He was proclaiming that a task was accomplished. The work of salvation was accomplished. I enjoy completing a task. I'm a guy, so I like to fix things. I'm a fixer. And as guys, we like to conquer things and stand back and say, look what I accomplished. I conquered it. Now, a warning to you men, sometimes your wives will come to you with a problem or a stress, and it might be from work or from something else, and they don't want you to fix it. Women are a lot like tea kettles. They just want to blow off steam. So guys, be careful. Just make sure you listen. Now, women, we guys are a little slow, I know. So sometimes you have to spell it out for us. F-I-X. Or you just say, I don't want you to fix this. I just need you to listen. But I enjoy fixing things. A few weeks ago, Tyler, our oldest son, and our daughter-in-law, Carissa, and our granddaughter, Adeline, they came through and they took our van down to South Carolina for a wedding, left Carissa's car here, and just before that, Tyler's car has 333,000 miles on it, failed inspection, so I went over and got that one too from Waynesboro. And it was a challenge, but I enjoyed the challenge of for his to pass, it needed a rear engine mount, and ended up needing a couple of bearings, and hers needed a bearing. And there were times when I was stuck, and I thought, I'm beyond the point of return. There are times when I thought, I am over my head, but I managed to fix it. And as we men like to do, stand back and see, look what I conquered. I accomplished something. Now, I think probably part of it was, I like still being dad. They still need dad, and I get to fix something for my son. Part of it is, yeah, I just like to accomplish something, that thrill of the completion of the task, like the conquer. Third, a big part of it may really be that as a minister and being aware of a lot of the things that people in our congregation that you are dealing with, there are some things that I can't fix. There are some major big deals that I just can't fix. I mean, there are times when at least a handful of times I wish I could write a check and buy somebody a house or write a check and buy somebody a car. But reality, it probably wouldn't fix everything. But I know one who can fix it. I know one who specializes in fixing. But there's that sense of accomplishment that we tend to enjoy. We paint a room, stand back, and look at the room and say, look, wow, look what I did. Reminds me of the man who painted his house. Maybe you've painted your house and stood back and said, wow, look what I did. There was a man who was kind of a cheapskate. All he wanted to buy was a 5-gallon bucket of paint to paint his whole house. Knowing it wouldn't cover it all, he started to pour some water in it, then added some more water and a little bit more. And he painted his house. It looked a little better, but not as good as it could have. And as he stood back and admired his work, a big rain shower came in and washed all the paint off the house. Then a voice from heaven cried out, repaint, repaint, and thin no more. I couldn't resist, sorry. I read that one the other day and I started cracking up. Not because it was funny, because it was so corny. Martha's the queen of corn. She's still laughing over there. No matter what you're going through, a difficult boss, a distant spouse, a huge loss in your family or friends, a terrible disease, suffering from the consequences of your mistakes, or suffering from the consequences of someone else's mistakes, no matter what you're going through, Jesus accomplished the fix for you. Now, some of our problems are small. The check engine light comes on and we can't afford to get it fixed. It doesn't compare to someone whose loved one was driving under a bridge in Miami at the wrong time. Some of our issues are petty when you lose a spouse to a terrible disease or a child. But don't you know that if Jesus accomplished the fix, it is finished. He accomplished the work of salvation. He conquered death on the cross. That if He will conquer that for us, that He has provided all that we need for everything else. There's an enemy roaming about seeking whom he may devour. And he wants to destroy you. He wants to tempt you to run away from God. He wants to tempt you to fall. He wants you to hate. He wants you to fear. He wants you to run. He wants you to die. But Jesus conquered him on the cross. Hebrews 2:14-15. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. We all need fixed. There was a small town where the barber for years cut everybody's hair. But then this other company came in, big name on the door and a big sign that said, haircuts $3. And the barber who had been there for years, his business started to dwindle. And he called in a business consultant and said, is it time for me to give up? Is it time for me to close shop? What do I do? The business consultant spent a day going through his books, asking him question after question. At the end of the day, he said, I'll be back tomorrow with the fix. And he came back the next day with a big banner that said, we fix $3 haircuts. Henry Ford was traveling on the countryside of Michigan. And he came across a broken down Model T, and there was the gentleman who owned it with his head leaned under the hood, dumbfounded. What's wrong? What do I do? Henry Ford stopped and said, sir, do you mind if I take a look? He said, sure, I don't know what it needs. Take a look. Henry Ford got under that hood and he reached under there and made some corrections and fixes here and there. And he said, try it now. And it started right up. He said, that's amazing. How in the world did you... You fixed it. In such a short amount of time, that's incredible. He said, well, I designed it. I should know how to fix it. And our designer knows how to fix our lives and our struggles. But here's our response. We've got to, first of all, trust that He knows what He's doing. We've got to trust that God knows exactly what He's doing, that His instructions and His Word make sense. And to name a few, if we're struggling financially and we go, look, okay, God, how do I deal with my finances? He will guide us out of our struggles. And one of the things He says is, give it away. Give me off the top. Give it to me. And we say, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. That's counterintuitive. But He says, give to me and I'll give to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. And we've got to trust that, you know, this doesn't make sense. It seems counterintuitive, but if I trust what God says, it's going to all work out. And He says that sexual relations should be confined within the bounds of married man and woman. And any times we get outside of those bounds and we live in a culture that says anything goes, when we step outside of those bounds, we've got to know that God had a reason for giving us these instructions. In Mark 16:16, we read that Jesus said, make disciples of all creation. Go into all the world. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. And then Peter in Acts 2, when the people said, what do we do? He said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know why. All the way through the book of Acts, we read that they baptized people. Everyone who accepted the message of Jesus and believed it, they were baptized. All the way through the book of Acts. And in the New Testament, baptism was a burial, in immersion in water. I don't know why. Sometimes I'm like a little child. Why? Why immersion? Because that's what the Greek word baptizo means. Well, why do we have to do that? Why did God command that? Why did Jesus command that before He ascended into heaven? Why did Peter preach that? Why did they practice that? And I don't know. But God had a reason. And I can speculate, well, it's in that moment that we are completely surrounded and surrendered in water, that Jesus or the Heavenly Father wanted to give us a moment in which we would identify with Jesus and the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, in which we would never forget, because our whole body, heart, soul, and mind surrendered to Jesus physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally. Or in my feeble attempt to explain why, well, maybe because when we're buried in water, we're in a place where we would die. If we stayed there, I mean, we are on the verge of death. And Romans 6 says, when we are buried with Christ, and we are raised into new life. It's like the burial. We die to ourselves. Our old person of sin is buried. And when we come up out of the water, it's new life. It's like the resurrection of Jesus. We come to a place where we can live. And so God wanted something dramatic that we would understand death and life. I don't know. But Jesus commanded it. The apostles preached it. The believers obeyed it. And so the question many ask all the time, well, do I have to be baptized to be saved? Can I be saved without being baptized? Well, we're supposed to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, and I don't plan on finding out. If you want to take your chances, that's up to you. But if we're going to trust God at His Word, if He says do it, we better do it. If we don't understand it, trust. Trust the Word. Second, repent. If we want God to fix our lives, we've got to repent. We've got to walk out of a life of sin that we're living in. You know, so many of us want to do things our way. I want to do it my way. I know your word says something else, but I want to do it my way. And then when we don't have God's blessing or things seem to fall apart, we need to repent and do things God's way. And third, give your heart. Give your heart to Him. You see, when He is on the throne of your heart, you trust what He says is true. When He has the throne of your heart, you run from a life of sin. You repent from doing things your way and say, okay, God, You're in charge now. You see, what He accomplished on the cross makes all the difference. Tetelestai, it is finished. Could also be interpreted as paid in full. Our debt has been paid in full. In the parable of the servant who owed the king, in a sense, $6 million, wouldn't forgive the 100 denarii like a $17. But he was forgiven, say, $6 million. Now the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the Old Law, it just paid the interest on the debt. It didn't clear the debt. It, in a sense, just paid the interest. The sacrifices of the Old Testament paid the interest. But Jesus came, and on the cross, it's as if He took a red stamp, stamped it in His blood, paid in full, tetelestai. It is finished. The work of salvation is complete. It is finished. Paid in full. Your sins, my sins, our debt has been paid in full. Maybe you've paid off your mortgage and you received a statement that said paid in full. Maybe you paid off a car and you received a payment that said paid in full. Just imagine if you had a letter that came from your bank and said your debt's been paid in full. And you say, that can't be true. Who did that? And when you investigate and discover that somebody, maybe even somebody you know, paid off your mortgage or paid off your car, paid off that student loan, how would you respond or react? You'd probably go crazy. You'd be so thankful. You'd be so grateful. You couldn't wait to run and say, thank you, thank you, thank you. Lisa Beamer wrote the book, Let's Roll. Her husband Todd, that was what he would say. Let's roll. On that United Flight 93 on September 11, 2001. He said, let's roll. Lisa wrote in that book also about her, when she was 15 years old, losing her dad. Said he was in good health. He ate very healthy. He exercised because he lost brothers who were in their 50s when they died of heart attacks. So he took care of himself. But there was one evening he was having chest pains. And he went into the hospital. And the kids didn't go because everything was going to be fine. They didn't go that evening. And the next morning, because they misdiagnosed, he was gone of an aortic aneurysm. And she writes that she was mad at God. For years, she struggled with her faith. She still believed God was there, but she continually asked, why? Why, God? And she came to the conclusion that the miracles of God don't always change our human events or circumstances. God knew this was going to happen. But a miracle of God is not necessarily changing our human events. But the miracle, she came to the conclusion, the miracle of God is that He walked with me and He carried me through that loss. She also writes about her mother during that time, who had to just keep pressing on and pressing on. At times didn't have time to grieve, but that her mother said it was so hard. It didn't make any sense. A wife with young children and the father's gone. It's evil, she said. It's just evil for that to happen. But she said, my mom was a woman of faith. She said, my dad, he was our anchor. He was our rock. He was our security. He was our spiritual leader. He was a man of faith. He was a leader in the church. Now he's taken from us. And we're having to wrestle with why. She said, my mother came to the conclusion that the events in this life are but a drop in the bucket compared to eternity. And that I need to trust God and know that He's walking with me and carrying me no matter what. That all the events of our humanity are preparing us for eternity. And we need to be prepared for eternity and help others be prepared for eternity. She lost her father and her husband. But she discovered that in the midst of all that, God was with her. And she continued to trust. Heavenly Father, there are times in our lives where we face things that we can't fix. Sometimes it's overwhelming. And we can't fix it. But You can. You fixed it all at the cross. You took away death. So that we don't have to fear death. And if we don't fear death, then we shouldn't fear anything else. Father, there's someone here that may be going through such a life event that they're just wondering why and struggling to get up each day. Father, we are a praying church and we want to be a praying church. And if there's one here that needs to come forward and have the congregation pray over them, I pray that You give them the courage to step out and say, I need prayer. Life is just too hard right now. Father, there may be one here that says, I need to repent and surrender my life to Jesus and trust. To trust that what God says is true. To trust that what Jesus commands is true. And trust that I just need to obey what He says. Give them the courage to step out and say, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I'm calling upon Him for salvation. I'm repenting and turning my life over to Him, giving Him the throne of my heart. And I'm ready to be buried in a watery grave, raised into new life. I pray, Father, You give them the courage to step out. Bless our time of decision in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a decision to make, why don't you come as we stand and as we sing.